We want to continue our study looking at discipline in the home. And I want to begin the way we began last class period, and that is to remind ourselves of some things with regard to discipline. First of all, when we hear that word discipline, we think little children need to be disciplined. And we've made the point before that the word discipline is for all of us. Adults need to be disciplined. We need to be disciplined in our life. So the word discipline is not just something confined to little children. Discipline just simply means training. And we need to be trained each day to live right. We need to be disciplined in our life. The next thing is, a lot of times we associate discipline with a little child getting in trouble, and so we need to discipline them. But it's also, we don't need to limit ourselves to that type of thing. Discipline is training ourselves in any area of our life. If we're sloppy in our life, we're undisciplined. If we're unkept in our hygiene, we're undisciplined. If we have a messy place, a messy house, a messy life, we're undisciplined. So discipline is not something just confined to the little children, and when they get in trouble, that's what discipline is. Discipline needs to be in all of our lives. You think about the military. When young men and women go into the military, it's an opportunity. One of the main things they're trying to do there is discipline these people. Well, it has nothing to do with getting a spanking. It has to do with making up your bed and getting up on time and all of the things you have to do in the military. You're disciplined. So we need to be thinking along the lines of this is for all of us in our life. Now, we do want to focus on some things with regard to training children, but discipline is for all of us, and we need to be thinking that each day that we live. Another thing is, you know, we associate discipline with a little kid getting in trouble, but I need to be disciplined in my mind. I need to think right and act right throughout the day, and that takes training. So discipline is for all of us, and it's in a lot of different areas of life. Another thing that we often associate with discipline is that discipline, oh, I know what that is, that's getting a spanking, or that's getting in trouble in some way. Well, as we noticed in our last class period, discipline, first of all, is just teaching with the mouth. Instructive discipline, just teaching a lesson with the mouth. It has nothing to do with getting in trouble. So discipline is verbal, it's instructional, and then it may be punitive. If the verbal discipline is not carried out, then there may need to be some area for punishment, but it's not just associated with punishment. So it's a good reminder along those lines. Let's begin with Proverbs chapter 3. We got a few of these in our last class period, and we want to look at the rest of them this morning. Proverbs 3:11, my son, despise not the chastening of Jehovah, for whom Jehovah loveth, he reproveth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Notice the word reprove there. That's going to involve words. And so discipline with words. Now, turn with me to Proverbs 13. Let's go down through the list. We're going to be on page 38, and we're going to pick up with number 4. But I want to read these others. Proverbs 13:24. Discipline also involves punitive punishment. It involves corporal punishment. So Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him diligently. And you'll notice up here on the chart that I've associated two words with each of these proverbs. Discipline is to be loving. It comes from love. Those whom I love, I discipline or chasten. It also needs to be diligent. I don't need to be slack in doing that. I don't need to drag my feet or wait a long time for discipline to take place. It has to be swift. It has to be diligent. We have to stay on top of that. Turn to Proverbs 19 and verse 18. 19:18. Chasten thy son, seeing there is hope, and set not thy heart on his destruction. So it needs to be timely, while there's still hope, while we can correct the child. But set not thy heart on his destruction. We're not trying to destroy him. It needs to be controlled. So discipline needs to be timely. It also needs to be controlled. Now let's pick up where we left off, Proverbs 22:15. And Matthew, we'll start with you this morning. What did you put for that one? Okay. Discipline separates a child from his foolishness. Let's read it together. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness, and that word, the Hebrew word means acting without purpose. There's not a good purpose or reason for what you're saying or doing. It's foolish. It's not matching up with the standard of God's word, and young people and adults do that a lot. And what's going to correct that? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's going to teach him that that foolish behavior is wrong. So, I need to add that in there. I see verse 15, train up a child while he is young. Train up a child. It needs to be appropriate. It needs to be corrective. And then verse 15, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. It's appropriate for that behavior, and it corrects that behavior. Turn with me to chapter 23. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beat him with the rod, he will not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shall deliver his soul from Sheol, or the grave. Brandon, what'd you put for that one? Okay, discipline delivers the soul from hell. It's going to correct that behavior and keep them from engaging in something that will lead them to death. And so it may be painful if you beat him, that there's going to be some pain, but it saves him in the end, or her. And so it is painful, but it's meant to save that person from destruction. Now, somebody says, well, I'm not going to lay a hand on my child. Well, that's fine. That's your choice. Nobody's going to force you to do that. But you're going to reap the consequences of it, you know, down the road. Okay? So an undisciplined, permissive young person is going to grow up thinking that I can say and do and act any way I want, and mom and dad let me do that, so when I get older, I can do that. And they end up getting themselves into trouble, and it causes problems for them. So it needs to be something that is meant to save them down the road. And then last of all, turn with me to Proverbs 29. Tammy, what'd you put for that one? Proverbs 29, 15 and 17. Okay. Notice that it's both. The rod and reproof give wisdom. It's not one or the other. Notice that it's instructive and punitive if necessary. So it's the rod, we're talking about getting the spanking, reproof or warning, both of them go together. But look at this, a child left to himself causeth shame to his mother. That's the parent who says, I'm not going to do anything with my child. That's a child left to himself. Just whatever you want, you know, I'm not going to do anything about that. Well, get ready for some shame and heartache down the road. You know, just go ahead and prepare yourself for that, because somewhere down the road, that child's going to do something that's going to give you some heartache, because they weren't disciplined. They weren't controlled in their behavior. And so later, there's going to be a problem. Now, when they're real little, everybody thinks it's cute. You know, we laugh and we think it's cute and all of that kind of thing. But about junior high, high school, when they're doing something that also involves breaking the law and other kinds of things, and all of a sudden it's not cute anymore, you see. When they end up in juvie and end up in prison later and causing problems, even if they don't go so far as to end up in jail or prison, the things that they're doing is much more involved than just the little toddler that, you know, we're laughing at. Oh, isn't that cute? And then, you know, we cry and we have heartaches and we have problems later, and it's just because we didn't do anything when we were had an opportunity. So don't just leave your child to do whatever they want. Verse 17, correct thy son, and he will give thee rest. Yea, he will give delight unto thy soul. And so it's rewarding. It's work. It's work, but it's rewarding. And it's challenging, and it's hard sometimes, but it's rewarding. And as they get older, we can see the good fruit and the good reward for that. Okay? Did anybody want to add anything to those proverbs that we need to look at there before we go on? Look at some of the key words that are used here in these proverbs. First of all, a rod. Use some sort of an instrument other than your hand. There needs to be an instrument where the attention is directed on that instrument. A few times when I've used my own hand, I almost get hurt as much as the child is getting hurt. So the instrument is meant for the child to be getting hurt, not yourself. And yes, the Hebrew word beat, it's going to cause some pain. This is not abuse. We've talked about this before. No lacerations, no broken bones, no bruising, that type of thing. But there will be some pain there. And if you use the King James, it says, don't spare for his crying. There's going to be some pain there, but don't give up just because you hear that. That's a part of the process. And then chasten him, it means to instruct or correct, to cause them to learn wisdom. Reproof means a warning, a calm explanation why they're getting this spanking. All of that has to be a part of it. It's not just walking up to a child and spanking them and walking off. It's a total package that makes the discipline work, both the teaching and the corporal punishment when necessary. Okay? Let's look now at the rest of our material, and we want to look at homes in the Bible that are disciplined and homes in the Bible that aren't. And we have the choice. As a parent, we have a choice of whether or not we're going to have a home that is disciplined or a home that is not disciplined. And so we need to decide that. And the sooner we decide that, the better. We want to talk about how to have a godly, disciplined home. There's a lack of discipline in a lot of homes today, in the church and out in the world. And we can see that a number of problems that are happening in society can be traced back to undisciplined homes. Parents who don't care anything, no rules, no regulations, or very few, very little. And when the rules and regulations are broken, no punishment, nothing along those lines. And then we wonder why we have a lot of problems later in society. They're just simply growing up and they're causing problems. We have the school shootings. We have all kinds of violence, you know, stuff going on out in the streets. It's just, it's problematic. And whenever you hear the news stories and the other kinds of things, you never hear any, I've never heard a news story ever where when they get done talking about the problem that they're reporting on, that they talk about how it started in the home. Nobody ever talks about that. We talk all the way around it. We get up close to it, but we don't want to say it. And we don't want to get to the heart of the matter, and that is that there's problems in the home and the way they were raised. But nobody wants to talk about that. They'll be talking about, we just need to find some solutions for this, and this is a troubled youth, and we don't know why, and we're looking into why that person may have done such and such. That's what's going on now with the news stories. You hear about these young people in the West, and they're getting airplanes over to Turkey and flying into Syria in order to join ISIS. And they're having all kinds of stories on that today. Well, when they get done with all that, they'll say something like, you know, we just don't know why they're doing that, and what's going on in their mind, and why would they want to kill? And they finally found the, what do they call him? Jihadi John, the guy that's been cutting the people with the knife. They finally found him. And the news stories are talking about, we just don't know why he made those changes and what was going on in his life. And then it just kind of stops right there. And we need to look into that more, but I can tell you why, pretty much. I can't give you the details of why, but in the way he was raised and how he was raised and what he was taught and that type of thing, a lot of that had to do with what he's doing today. Now, there may be some specific things, some changes he made as an adult that we don't know about and we may never know about. But in general, you can trace it to the home often, and You might find some exceptions here or there, but often it's the way these people are raised in the home. But nobody wants to talk about that anymore and really get to the heart of the problem. Many parents will not discipline their children for a number of reasons. These are some that I can think of. Sometimes they're just lazy. They're just lazy. They don't want to raise their hand. They don't want to get up and do anything. They're just lazy. Some are selfish. They got their own life going on. They don't have time to discipline their children. Some are not even there. The dad's never around. The mom's never around, or whatever the case might be. And so the kids bopping around, popping around to different people, and it's not consistent. You know, the child lives a little bit with this person, a little bit with that person. They have all got different rules, all got different ways of handling things, and it's just not consistent. And so they never really get a coherent or consistent upbringing. And what little the mom or dad may pop in now and then, stop and think about it. If you've been away from your child for a while, and you come in and you're actually around them, but they're cutting up and misbehaving, do you really want to discipline them when you haven't seen them all week or haven't been around them? Is your first act want to be an act of discipline? No. You want to be there, oh, I'm going to show my love because I'm never around, so I'm going to show them love. Well, then they're cutting up and misbehaving, and they get by with it because you don't want to just pop in and discipline them all of a sudden. So there's all that going on. Sometimes the adults, they didn't have a disciplined life themselves, so they're certainly not going to discipline their children. And some of them, and this is really, and we're going to see a slide here in a minute, this really is a part of our society today. We're getting a larger number of people who do not believe in God's Word. And as a result of that, they're going to raise children on their own human wisdom. They're not going to raise children on the wisdom of God's Word. We're getting a higher percentage of atheists, unbelievers, skeptics. They're called nothings or nuns. The new Barna research is calling them nuns. They're just nothing. They're just nothing. And we're getting more and more of that in our society. And so we've read some Proverbs and God's wisdom and think, but they're like the Bible. Who cares about that? I'm just going to do my own thing when I raise my kids. And so there's more and more of that going on in our society. As an example of that, look at this. This is straight off the American Academy of Pediatrics website. Look at where we stand on spanking. The American Academy of Pediatrics strongly opposes, notice that biased word, striking a child. That's biased right there. That's to engender in your mind just really, hurting and abuse. You know, we're just striking the child. You know, striking has a little bit more of a negative connotation than even just the word spanking. But striking a child for any reason, of course, we don't spank just for any old reason. There's a reason because they have violated a rule or a boundary. Spanking is never recommended. So underscore that in your mind. Spanking is never recommended. So if you have a whole society that is based upon these from the top down, American Academy of Pediatrics, that's the top down. You're getting the word from the top, and then it trickles down into our, the pediatricians all around the land. And then when you go visit them, here's a parent with just an unruly 2 or 3 year old. They're just a brat, and they come in for their monthly checkup. The pediatrician trained on this is going to say, well, whatever you do, don't ever spank them. Well, then they go home and start living by that philosophy. Then it trickles down from the top, and that's why our society is just full of liberalism and ungodliness. If you get from the White House that homosexuality is okay, if you get it from the top on down, then it's just going to infiltrate our country. So when you get it from the top and it gets into all of our pediatric, offices and things, then it's just going to be full of that kind of thing. And another one would be the NEA, the National Education Association. Whatever they say, that's from the top down. And if they have liberal agendas, which they do, then it gets trickled down into, all the schools and things eventually. So this is what's going on. But spanking is never recommended. So, and there's some other things there we could talk about, but since you're not supposed to do that, then call a friend or a relative, get some support or advice. I'll give you some advice from God's Word. I'd like to get a call. We'll turn to God's Word. If these don't help, reach out to your child's pediatrician who's been trained by the American Academy, and then he'll tell you, he'll get it all worked out. You know, he'll help you. Well, isn't that nice? So that's what's going on. Here's the next one. Physical punishment. Parents often ask, should I spank my child? Many parents occasionally lose their patience, and of course we would all agree that that's wrong, or in anger or fear may spank their youngster. We should never do it from those motives. For instance, if a child runs out into the street, a parent may sweep the child up and in a moment of anxiety for the child's well-being, spank her to emphasize the parent's sense of urgency or worry. Actually, it is the parent's expression of disapproval that is effective deterrent in this situation, not the spanking. The Bible says it's both. When you say things with your mouth that are a deterrent, and you're firm about that, and the rod and reproof give wisdom, what they're saying is just the negative wording, that alone will do it. Well, it doesn't. Spanking may relieve a parent's frustration for the moment and extinguish the undesirable behavior for a brief time, but it is the least effective way to discipline. So when you have people in our nation telling you, the first slide said, don't ever spank, and then you have them say, that's the least effective way, you are undermining the Word of God. You're undermining what God said. God said that it is effective. They're saying it's not. And so we have to decide who we're going to believe. And of course, a good part of America and the world believes what the doctors are saying. No, they're the smart ones, you see. I asked Paul Douthat about this one time. Of course, he's a pediatrician. And I asked him about this, and he said, well, you know, that's the worldly wisdom. He said, we're all trained that way. I choose not to follow that. I follow what God's Word says. And he said that spanking, if you want to get it from a doctor, Paul Douthat said, spanking's good. He said, don't abuse them. And of course I say that. Don't abuse them, but spank them. So if you want it from a doctor, there you go. It just depends on the belief of the doctor, the background of the doctor. Is he a believer? Is he a godly believer? Or is he a secular person, you know, following human wisdom? While stopping the behavior temporarily, that is spanking, it does not teach alternative behavior. I disagree. It does. It also interferes with the development of trust and a sense of security and effective communication. No, it doesn't. That's just made up. It's just stuff that people make up. Spanking often becomes the method of communication. Well, in the wrong person it might, but in the right person it never does. It's never the only thing we do. It also may cause emotional pain and resentment. Back up here, I told you this a couple of class periods ago. Look at this. It is harmful emotionally to both parent and child. Not only can it result in physical harm, but it teaches children that violence is an acceptable way to discipline. Remember when I told you a few weeks ago that the way it's being taught today is that if you spank a child, it just teaches them to hit others when they grow up. Remember I told you that? That's where this is all coming from. You say, well, where does that come from? It comes from this liberal mindset from the top down that if you spank someone, all it does is just teaches them later in life to go around hitting people. Well, I was spanked growing up, and I never even thought about going out hitting people, ever, until I heard someone say that that's what's going to happen. I never even knew that until a liberal person told me that, well, that's what's going to happen. It wasn't even in my nature or mind. So that's just made up. It's just made up. And so we have to decide if we're going to go with God's Word or with man's Word. Any other thoughts on that before we move on? We're going to look at discipline in the home. Yes.
It is very interesting to equate punishment with violence, and obviously it's perceived that possible. I wonder if some of those that are writing this have never been spanked, maybe themselves, so they view that people over there,
absolutely,
they're spanking.
Absolutely.
Just like that guy over there punching that other guy.
Right.
There's no disconnect because they don't have God.
Exactly. And it's just like police using force. We're getting now to where police can't use any force anymore because, well, that just teaches people to go out and use force. So we're taking it away from the police officer. We're taking it away from the parent. And it's because many of these liberal-minded people were raised in undisciplined lives. And so they're not going to be the experts to tell us how to live our lives. And so that certainly could come from that. Let's move on. Let's look at discipline in the home. Spoiled, ill-mannered, and unruly adults often raise spoiled, ill-mannered, and unruly children. That's just the bottom line of it. And so we're passing from an older generation. There was the World War II generation. There were those children who were born from that generation, okay? The baby boomers right after World War II. And then I was a part of the early to mid-60s, what's called the busters, the baby busters. That's the next generation. And then there's the generation after them. We have these different generations. And we're moving away from the generation that disciplined to looser ways of life. And then those people now are having children. And then when they have their children, so it just gets looser and looser and looser. And that's why we have the problem. When we truly love our children, Proverbs says that if we love our children, we will discipline them. It comes from love. It's love and discipline, not one or the other. And if we truly love them, we will engage in these kinds of things. I think about Isaiah's question to Hezekiah. What have they seen in your house? What do they see in our house? What do the brethren see in our house? What does God see in our house? That's really the important thing. Does he see ungodly, hypocritical, permissive parents? Does he see undisciplined, unruly, disobedient children? Little to no rules? God sees what's in our house. And he needs to see discipline, not permissiveness. Here are four elements of discipline. We're trying to bring it all together into a total package. What is it? Well, first of all, as a parent, I am setting the example for what I'm wanting to teach. If I discipline my child for lying, I don't need to be lying. I need to be setting the example for whatever behavior I'm wanting to mold in my child. I first must be having that behavior in myself. So it starts with me as an example. And then I open my mouth, teaching and instruction. Abraham commanded his children to follow God's word. And so teaching with the mouth. Now, when my example and my teaching is not getting the job done, then some sort of parental correction, some sort of punitive correction must be implemented, and that's all the Proverbs that we just read, okay? And then we're hoping and working toward the goal of obedience, where the child obeys and honors his father and his mother. So these are some of the basic elements that have to be present. We can't remove one or the other and just sort of half-heartedly go through that. It won't be done right. But when all of those elements are there, God tells us in his word that good things will happen. Okay. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, Jesus, as a child, was raised in these four areas. When we train our children, we're looking at these four different areas. We want them to develop their mind. We want them to use their mind to learn. And a lot of that has to do with secular education, just things that we need to know in life in order to live. We call that going to school. There's physical development or training. They have to have a good, healthy lifestyle. We need to food, shelter, clothing, make sure that they're clean, make sure that they're taken care of in all of those ways involving their physical life. They need to be trained in the proper treatment of others, how to talk and act with others, not just in their family, but those that they come in contact with. And then last of all, they need to be trained to know God and God's word and grow up and obey God. So those are the areas of the training that we're looking at. So in our example, in our teaching, in our corrective punishment, it's to have these four areas of a person's life all molded the way God wants, and they will be a well-rounded person. Now let's look in our workbooks now and keep going through our questions. If you'll take letter B there, Rachel, under Roman numeral 4. A well-disciplined home is illustrated by Abraham. If you'll take B there, please. Okay, thank you. Number one, Mike.
What is meant by the term man in this verse? What I took of it was to teach.
Right, to teach God's word. He's going to command those things to his children. He's going to teach them and give orders for them to be heard and followed and obeyed. Very good. Patricia, number two, please. Thank you. And then, Michael, letter C there, please.
This prophet spake that Sarah obeyed Abraham, unto the Lord.
Okay, so clearly, here is a man of discipline. He's going to teach and train his children, and God knew that about him. Look at Genesis 18, 19. I know him. Can that be said of you? Can that be said of me? That God really knows that we're going to do this based upon what he's seen in our life. Does he know that about us? He needs to know that about us, that we're going to teach our children the right way. So we have an example here of a well-disciplined home. And I would say that Joseph and Mary and Jesus would be another example, because Luke says that he was subject to them and he was trained in all of these areas of his life. So a well-disciplined home. But turn with me now. I want to spend our time really more on Eli, because this is more of a problem, especially in our society and sometimes in the church, and that is the permissive or undisciplined home. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Of course, Eli had some sons who were priests at the tabernacle, and we learn that they were undisciplined young men. And Eli is at fault, and he's judged for that. It's not just, Eli, that you shouldn't have done that. He was judged by God for a lack of discipline. Somebody says, what am I going to lose my soul over? Well, if I'm a liar or a murderer or an adulterer, I can't get in heaven. What about this one? I didn't discipline my children. Wow, I hadn't thought about that. He's judged for not disciplining his children, and so that's extremely important in the eyes of God. Let's look at 1 Samuel 3. Let's look at what his problem was. 1 Samuel 3, verse 13. For I have told him, this is God speaking through Samuel, I have told him, I've told Eli, God said, I've told him that I will judge his house forever. For the iniquity which he knew his sons were doing wrong, because his sons did bring a curse upon themselves, and he restrained them not. You underscore that. Here's a permissive parent who wouldn't say no and stop it and control it. And he just, we know, look at 1 Samuel 2:22. He was old. Maybe it had to do with he was old. But he would not restrain them. And you'll see that all the time today, where the little kid is misbehaving, the parent's not doing a thing about it. Somebody else, maybe a family member or somebody else, may step in and stop it, may not, but the parent's not doing it. And they're oblivious, lazy, whatever. They won't do it. That's wrong. Now, what was their problem? Well, two things are mentioned. Go back to 1 Samuel 2. If you start reading in verse 12, and we don't have time this morning to read all of it, but if you start reading in verse 12, one of the things that they were doing is they were taking a portion of the flesh that was brought for the sacrifice. They were taking that by violence, and they were taking things that they weren't supposed to take. And so we find in verse 15, they were saying, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have boiled flesh of thee, but raw. And if a man said unto him, they will surely burn the fat first, then take as much as the soul desireth, then he would say, that's one of Eli's sons, no, but you shall give it to me now, and if not, I will take it by force. 1 Samuel 2:16. That was one thing they were doing. They were selfish little brats is what they were. And they're going to take by force what they want. And if you're not going to give me what I want, I'm going to take it. So that was one of their problems. Here's the other problem. Start reading in verse 22. They were committing sexual immorality with the women who worked down there at the tabernacle. Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how they lay with the women. Let me stop right there. He heard all that his sons did, but he didn't restrain it. You can talk to a parent, and they'll say, well, I know that they're cutting up and misbehaving. Well, are you going to do anything about it? No, but I know they're doing it. Well, what good is that? He had heard, he saw it, he heard it, but he wasn't doing anything about it. So he had heard all that his sons did, verse 22, and how they lay with the women that did service at the door of the tent of meeting. They were committing fornication down there instead of doing their priestly duty. They were forcing themselves on the people, taking the part of the sacrifice that didn't belong to them, and then they were lying carnally with the women. And he said unto them, well, wait a minute, he did say something. He heard it. Now he's going to say something. Well, what does he say? Why do you such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all this people. No, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make Jehovah's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, God shall judge him. But if a man sin against Jehovah, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father. Listen, he saw it. And he even said something to it about it. And he said, no, nay, no, don't do that. But they wouldn't listen. Now, have you ever seen a parent try to attempt to say something to the unruly child? And the unruly child just dismisses them. They know the parent doesn't mean it. No, no. And they're still doing what they're doing. You need to stop that. And they're still doing what they're doing. They don't take their parents seriously because the parent doesn't take the discipline seriously. The child just blows them off. And that's what was going on with these two boys. He walked up and said, now, boys, I hear that y'all are doing this. You shouldn't do that. Nevertheless, they did not hearken unto him. Yeah, Dad, right, whatever. And then chapter 3:13 says, Eli, I'm holding you accountable because you did not restrain them. So, we have a choice of a disciplined home or an undisciplined home. Shonda, letter D there. And then Brittany, letter E. Right. And the author says it's disturbing to see how Eli neglected his sons, and it's disturbing today. Now listen, not only is it a problem for you as the parent and your children, but look at the text in chapter 2, verses 22 and 23 and 24. You make Jehovah's people to transgress. There's going to be other problems other than you and your little undisciplined home. Your children are going to go out and affect others, and there's going to be problems elsewhere. The people that they contact later in life, they're going to be a problem for them. You're going to be judged, they're going to be judged, and they are going to cause problems for other people. It's just wrong all the way around. And so we have to be disciplined in our home. Any comments before we close? We're out of time. Any observations or comments before we close? We have a choice between a disciplined home or an undisciplined home. We're trying to teach respect for authority and obedience. And when it's in the home, then they'll grow up and they'll be right in the church. They'll be right in society. But if we get off on the wrong foot in the home, there's no hope for them to be right in the church later or right in society. And we need to close with this firm reminder, Romans 1:30, in 2 Timothy 3:2, in a whole list of sins, somebody tell me what's listed in there with murder, and all those types of things. What is that? What does that say there? Romans 1:30, what is it? Wickedness, lasciviousness, murder. What's one thing that's mentioned? Disobedient to parents. It's right there in that list of all those other grievous sins. So be mindful of that as we try to have a disciplined life and serve God. Thank you. Lord willing, we will begin to look at lesson 10 on marriage, divorce, and remarriage Wednesday night. Thank you.